For SDPB News, I'm Nick Nelson. South Dakota Department of Health officials report 55 new COVID-19 cases. The state's total of COVID-19 cases increased to 6,681. The death toll from the virus remains at 91, as no new deaths were reported. There are 838 active cases, up 20 from Saturday. 75 people are currently hospitalized with the disease. 5,752 people have recovered. 793 tests were reported by the Department of Health. The Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe recently filed a lawsuit against President Donald Trump, his chief of staff Mark Meadows, and a variety of other federal officials. Tribal officials say this is to maintain the safety of their tribal members against the COVID-19 pandemic. The suit claims abuse of federal authority to have the tribe remove their health screening checkpoints upon entry to the reservation. SDPB's Richard Tubles reports.
The law firm Vic Fire Law and Policy are representing the tribe. The lawsuit alleges the White House and Bureau of Indian Affairs launched a campaign against the tribe after Governor Kristi Noem appealed to the president after the tribes refused her request to remove the checkpoints. The lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia and describes how government officials such as the president's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, have colluded to both coerce and punish the tribe for their checkpoints. The attorney for the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe says in a statement, the tribe filed this suit because the White House and the BIA are pursuing a political agenda that is not only threatening lives during this pandemic. Nicole Ducheneau, also a member of the tribe, says it's a gross violation of the United States' solemn trust duty to the tribe. The Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe encompasses the poorest county in the United States, and the members that live there suffer heightened rates from COVID-19 and lack adequate access to health care. Ducheneau continues in her statement, the tribe's health safety checkpoints are a lawful exercise of our sovereign authority and intended to protect our people from sickness and death, and it's working. She went on to say, when the tribe informed White House and agency officials that they were not going to end their health checkpoints, the tribe's law enforcement funding was pulled in middle of the coronavirus pandemic, leaving an already vulnerable population deal with yet another health and safety crisis. In a past interview with Chairman Harold Frazier, he said these health screening checkpoints are the tribe's only line of defense against the coronavirus, and until there is a vaccine, he will keep the checkpoints. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Richard Tubles in Rapid City.
There's a hill south of the town of Blount where history is written with stone in the form of a giant snake. Across South Dakota, life forms made of stone, turtles, snakes, humans, thunderbirds inhabit high places. The rocks that outline these creations, laid by human hands, are links to the past. None of these petroforms are officially protected, although a few, like the Medicine Knoll snake effigy, are intentionally maintained by private landowners. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has this story written by Michael Zimney.
The Medicine Knoll snake effigy was first documented in writing by Theodore Lewis in 1889. He recorded the length at 360 feet, with the number of stones used at 825. Famed South Dakota writer, historian, and activist Vine Deloria Jr. chronicled a familial connection to the site in his book, Singing for a Spirit, part of which is both a metaphysical and historical account of the life of his great-grandfather, a Yankton Dakota chief named Sosue. In the book, a young Sosue hears voices calling him to embark on a vision quest. Deloria's son, Dr. Phil Deloria, himself an author and professor of history at Harvard, recalls the story passed down to him by his father and grandfather.
Sosue had this sort of period of time, as people often do before a vision or a vision quest, where, you know, he was hearing voices that were calling to him. He knew that he was part of a kind of a spiritual encounter that was going to happen at a certain point. They ended up camping at the Medicine Knoll near Blount, and he went up there to have his vision. The way my grandfather was told it was that you could do a vision by standing and praying with the pipe, or you could do a vision in a somewhat different way by digging a kind of a hole with a kind of a little seat in it, and then you would put your head down and you would wait.
Vine Deloria Jr. explained his great-grandfather's vision in detail in Singing for a Spirit. There's something else in his account, parallel to the vision, which contributes to the mystique surrounding Medicine Knoll.
There's a tiny little other part of the story that also my dad tells in the book, which is that his cousin, Brown Bear, was sent up to check on him, to check on Sosue. And Brown Bear rode his horse up the Medicine Knoll and was stopped by all of these rattlesnakes. And the snakes, you know, kind of would not let him pass. And he had to spur his horse. And it's very, very, you know, traumatic, I think, to sort of imagine this, right? These snakes, but you feel like you have to go. And he couldn't quite get there, but he, you know, got to the point where he could see Sosue, and he saw snakes crawling all over his body. And the Brown Bear at that point, you know, kind of turned and went down, you know, with his horse. And he had been sort of forcing his horse to go, and went back down into the camp and said, oh, you know, my cousin is dead up there. And that the people started mourning. And at that point, Sosue, you know, in the middle of this mourning practice, Sosue came down off the hill and, you know, and there he was.
The Sosue story is part of a longer tradition at Medicine Knoll.
My memory of this is when I went up there with my grandfather, that the stones in the effigy seemed to have been, you know, sort of in a little bit of disarray, but that you could tell that it was there, and you could tell that it was a snake. And my grandfather said, well, other people have had dreams of snakes up here before. That's apparent. You know, we know this by looking at this effigy. And that was pretty much all he said about it, but he was quite willing to make the connection between the snakes that appeared in Sosue's experience. So, you know, I mean, you think that places have their own particular kinds of characters to them, and that the character of that place is one that has something very, you know, powerful and important to do with snakes.
Historian Dr. Craig Howe of the Center for American Indian Research and Native Studies has studied stone effigies.
Another thing about these effigies out of rocks, I mean, rocks are not just rocks in Lakota cosmology. This idea of these rocks are from their origins, from the beginning of time, from a Lakota perspective. This is a being, how to say that? These rocks are evidence of this original being called Ia. And he was what was here at the beginning, Ia. And eventually, Ia, which I just love the phrase, he pulsated with the potentiality of the universe. So this being eventually, through processes that are in Lakota cosmology, that he bled out and went from this amorphous, powerful being to this hard, brittle substance that we call rock today. So any of these rocks are, in Lakota cosmology, they're referencing Ian, that original being. So to use them to make a shape of anything can have these really strong cultural significance.
The cultural significance of this place may have been widely known in Sosue's time, according to Phil Deloria.
The way my dad tells the story, it's that, you know, hey, they just happened to be heading north. Then they broke off from the main group and they went over to this place, right? And so they went there with intention so that Sosue could do a vision quest. So they knew where they were going, right? And they went there with some purpose. So was the purpose like that's a place that people go to have visions? Or was it even more specific and like backed up by a larger a set of knowledge than that, right? That's a place where people have snake visions, rattlesnake visions. You know, I mean, it feels to me entirely possible to imagine a great depth of knowledge that is sort of lost to us as we tell the story. The people on this landscape, right, knew this landscape cold, you know? I mean, they knew everything about it. They traveled all over it. They understood it in great detail. And, you know, these kinds of places, these Medicine Knolls and buttes, this feels to me like something that was knowledge that was held collectively by people for a really long time.
There are subtexts within these stories told in stone, passed down by certain families or shrouded in time unknown to most. Petroforms may hold centuries or more of accumulated oral histories within their outlines. Some of these outlines have been erased. None are officially protected. For now, the snake at Medicine Knoll remains.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends. Together we can make a more civically engaged South Dakota. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.